Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. I think I have a really good show. I'm going to read some stuff, I'm going to talk about some stuff, and we're going to talk about basics. We're going to try to stay away from the whole CV19 thing and all that kind of stuff that I've been talking about. I want to talk about my roots, which are in the issues of aging. And to do that, I'm going to be reading some from a book that I find just a fascinating book. I've talked about it here before, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour as we talk about the issues of aging. One of the things that COVID-19 has done is bring into laser-like focus the frailty that we are all going to face as we get older. You know, half the deaths in Europe were in care homes. 15,000 people in the United States who have died in care homes. And I don't want to focus on the COVID aspect of that as much as I want to focus on the fact that we are all going to get older. We're all going to become more frail. We're all going to become more dependent on those around us. And that's what I want to focus on today. Because I think it's important. I think it's important that we talk about what this show's about and what almost nobody else talks about, the issues of aging. Don't confuse this show with retirement planning. This is not about retirement planning. I don't care about your portfolio. Portfolios come and go. Nobody has the perfect advice. Nobody knows. Has a crystal ball. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I don't care what they say. But I do know this for a fact. Barring early death, you're going to get older. Your mom and dad are going to get older. Your Aunt Tilly's going to get older. Your wife is going to get older. Your husband's going to get older. Your favorite grandma are going to get older. And in that process, they're going to become more frail. And they're going to become more dependent upon those around them. It's just a fact of life. Glad to have you with us. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host here 21 years on KFBK, and I hope you'll take a little time to listen to this. If you can't listen to all of this, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. And you can get more information. You can check upcoming webinars. I did a webinar this week. It was really good, folks. For those of you that didn't see it, I'm sorry you missed it. You can probably catch it on my website. I think it's been put up there by Keyline Digital that manages all my digital stuff. By the way, if you're looking for, this is just a plug. If you're looking for simply the best company around to do social media and websites, I think if you've looked at my website lately, and by the way, it's in the process of being improved, if you can believe it, it's all done by Keyline Digital. They're right here in Sacramento, and you can call them. This is my plug for the day at 916-979-7067. 979-7067. If your company or your nonprofit or your group has a need for the best in social media, all my Facebook Live stuff is managed by them. Everything I do is managed by Keyline Digital, and I'm appreciative to them for all the good work that they do, just like my webinar this week. It was all managed by them. If you didn't get that phone number, you can call me back and I'll be happy to get it to you. A couple things. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I have to tell you that I have one. What else? I don't know. I'm a notary. I'm not an electrician. It's amazing all the things I have to say. I do also have a legal document assistant license, recorded in Sacramento County, California. Being a legal document assistant allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. Documents such as trust, powers of attorney, advanced healthcare directives. My license number is 2004-05, expires in August of this year, and then I have to renew it. I just took 2 continuing education classes last week to stay current. I want to focus on the issues of aging, and I'm going to read to you some stuff. There's 3 books that I am completely enamored of that deal with aging. Oh, let me give you some information. And again, in addition to my website, assetsandaging.com, you can follow me on Facebook. I do Facebook live videos all the time. You can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. You can follow me. You can watch my videos there. You can be informed. You can sign up for my free newsletter. You can do that on the web, on my webpage, assetsandaging.com. You can become a subscriber. For subscribers, I put up 3 new videos this last week just for subscribers. You can't get them unless you're a subscriber. And I have like 20 other videos up and other stuff. I'm getting ready to write. I've been writing furiously for the last couple weeks to put up a bunch of blogs. But stuff has been unfolding so fast that it's been hard to keep up, but I'm trying to do that now. And you can always call me. My office phone is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And again, don't forget, I'm not an attorney, but I am licensed to prepare legal documents at non-attorney prices, as I like to say. In fact, for the most part, you bring me any price, a legitimate price, not one off the internet or mail-in, on a document package, and I'll probably beat it. There's 3 books. One is my book, Navigating Frailty, which is available. You can call me or email me through my website, and I'll get you a copy of my book, Navigating Frailty. The second book that I have probably read 8 times is called Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G-M-O-R-T-A-L, Being Mortal. It's by Dr. Atul Gawande. Dr. Gawande is a doctor, his wife's a doctor, his father's a doctor, his mother's a doctor. Dad starts going sideways and 4 doctors can't figure out what to do. It's a great book. And the latest book, and I'm going to read you some of this today to give you a taste, is a book. This is a slog. Not because it's a bad book, but because you want to read and reread and reread. It's 400 and some pages long, folks, including indexes and all that kind of. And the indexes and the notes are staggeringly good. I mean, really good. It's called Elderhood, and it's by Dr. Louise Aronson, A-R-O-N-S-O-N. I highly recommend everybody that gives a you-know-what about seniors or the process of aging should be reading this book. It's an astonishing book. I can't read more than about 10 pages a day because I find myself rereading what I just read and then going back to stuff she's read before. So it's going to take me a while to get through this. But I can't tell you what a great, impossibly great book this is. It's called Elderhood by Dr. Louise Aronson, A-R-O-N-S-O-N. And I want to read you something. Dr. Aronson is still practicing at UCSF. Before I became a doctor, I'm going to read, this is going to be several pages, but I want you to bear with me and I want you to listen to this with your heart, not just your mind. Because what she has to say is incredibly important about medicine and about the aging process and frailty and all of those things. And I want to spend the first half hour here reading from this book. And again, I'm reading from Elderhood by Dr. Louise Aronson. And it's a stunningly good book, and you should read it. Before I became a doctor, I thought senility was a normal part of aging. Live long enough, I figured, and memory fails. I didn't realize that senility was the lay word for dementia. And this syndrome had more than 70 medical causes. I want to read that to you again. I didn't realize that senility was the lay word for dementia, and this syndrome, senility, had more than 70 medical causes. Nor did I know that as long as you didn't contract one of those conditions, you could live without dementia into your 80s, 90s, and 100s. So she was mistaken about that early on. These days, we hear much more about dementia and its most common type, Alzheimer's. But 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. Still, I should have known better based on a sampling of old people in my own family. Granny, my great-grandmother, lived into her 90s, and at no time was there anything wrong with her mind. Ditto my maternal grandfather, who died at age 86, and my two grandmothers, who died in their 70s. Incredibly, despite personal experience to the contrary, I thought dementia and aging were synonymous. I wasn't the only one with that erroneous belief. The word dementia appears nowhere. The more I read this book, I'm rereading these passages, by the way, and as I was getting ready for tonight, I had to reread these four more times to get all the stuff out of it that I wanted. The word dementia appears nowhere on a report from the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, listing the top 10 causes of death for all ages in the United States from 1933 to 1998. The word Alzheimer's showed up on that listing for the first time in 1994. Dr. Alzheimer's discovered it in the 30s or 40s, I forget which. The word Alzheimer's, pardon me, showed up on that listing for the first time in 1994 as the eighth leading cause of death among women. It did not appear on the men's or combined list until 1999. That's in the lifetime of most of you listening to me. I read on from Dr. Aronson's book. The explanation for its appearance late in the 20th century was not, like AIDS or Zika, that it was either a newly discovered pathogen or newly affecting our populace, nor can Alzheimer's ascendance be entirely a result of people living longer, though that surge clearly affected not only disease prevalence, but public and medical awareness of it. We live longer, folks. We live longer. Life expectancy is now approaching 80. We live longer. I read on. Part of the change reflected the fact that doctors who fill out death certificates are products of their culture and training. In their civilian lives, if they heard about the topic at all, they heard of senility, not dementia. They're different, folks. Senility has a completely different connotation than dementia, medically. In most medical schools, dementia warranted only a passing mention. In textbooks, it wasn't featured nearly as prominently as similarly common life-altering diseases. That might have made sense if it was a normal part of aging, although one could argue that any condition that affects a person's body function and well-being is a health issue. Conditions that doctors have not been trained to adequately evaluate or manage are unlikely to appear on death certificates. Certifying clinicians or even CDC scientists also may have believed that dementia and aging went hand in hand and that it didn't matter in the same way as heart disease and cancer. That has certainly been true in my lifetime, and certainly it's only in the last 15 to 20 years that we have started to take dementia and Alzheimer's seriously. Since 2007, Alzheimer's has been the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. And for people over 80, it's now in fifth place for men, third for women. women are disproportionately subject, this is my own words, not from the book, dementia. If you look at the residents of most memory care units, most nursing homes, they're women. But even that isn't quite right. I'm reading from Dr. Aronson's book. For the most part, the causes of death that have led to CDC listings for the last century are broad categories of disorders such as diseases of the heart, malignant neoplasm, and accidents. As a result, many diseases fall under such heading, and the number of deaths counted are high. If we list heart attacks, heart failure, arrhythmias, and other cardiac conditions separately, but cancer as a single entity, for example, heart disease would not top the list. Cancer would. But cancer would also drop lower down the list if we separated out the different types, such as breast, lung, skin, prostate, colon, blood, and each of the many others individually. Yet the CDC considers Alzheimer's a separate disease on its own, rather than grouping the many dementias together. A more consistent approach would be to have a dementia category that included vascular, Lewy body, frontotemporal, and all the other dementias. There's not just one kind of dementia, folks. Understanding all this in people's lives and in the process of aging is paramount to planning for it. I'm reading on. This matters because where a condition appears on this or other lists affects all aspects of medicine, from doctor training to money for research and departments within health systems, as well as the public's imagination and our political and social priorities. You see lots of ads for, and I'm not denigrating any, but for heart disease, for breast cancer, for cancer, for a depression, for diabetes, for all of those kinds of things. You very rarely see, with a couple exceptions, a real concern about dementia. There's some talk of Alzheimer's and some, but not an overall discussion of dementia as a part of aging. Not to be confused with senility. Different things. Completely different things. Okay? Serious disease always transforms. Now, as I read this, wow, the half hour's going. I want you to think of somebody in your family. This is Dr. Aronson talking again. Serious disease always transforms. My father looked like my father until his death at age 84. But in his last years, he acted less and less like the dad I had known for the first 48 years of my life. That change in a person with dementia is why the condition is sometimes described as a double loss for families. First, the recognizable face and body become those of an unfamiliar character. And then in death, often many years later, everything is gone. In Elegy for Iris by John Bailey, who cared for his wife, the writer Iris Murdoch, as she advanced into the late stages of dementia, described the years of her illness this way. And listen to this, those of you who are dealing with someone with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer's is, in fact, like an insidious fog, barely noticeable until everything around has disappeared. After that, it is no longer possible to believe that a world outside fog exists. It seems intentionally unclear whether Bailey is speaking for his wife, for himself as her caregiver, or for both of them. My father did not live into those final stages until the last 2 or 3 years of his life. He could still fool people who didn't know him. That's not uncommon. Well, Dad seems fine. When one of the kids talks to Dad, yeah, he's kind of, you know, the child that's home and taking care of Dad or Mom all day long says, hey, I'm still seeing some changes. All of a sudden, one of the children calls from Ohio or comes to for a short visit and says, well, I don't understand. Mom or Dad seem perfectly fine. Dementias are, I'm reading again from Dr. Aronson's book. Dementia's early stages can be subtle, discernible, only to the trained or watchful eye. In describing her mother in the months leading up to an Alzheimer's diagnosis, the French writer Annie Ernaux says this: she had changed. She started laying the table much earlier. She became irritable. She was inclined to panic if she received a circular from her pension fund. Things started happening to her. The train she was waiting for on the station platform had already left. When she went out to buy something, she discovered all the shops were closed. Her keys kept disappearing. She seemed to have to brace herself against invisible threats. The most common dementia, Alzheimer's disease, is by definition gradual in onset. Symptoms generally begin several years prior to diagnosis. Early on, its manifestations are subtle and often attributable to old age or inattention. "I'm having a senior moment," people say of their normal brain's normal lapses, laughing and at the same time terrified. Americans fear dementia more than any other disease except cancer. Americans, these are my own words, Americans in studies done are much more terrified of dementia and a nursing home than they are of dying. Aging changes the brain and diseases cause dementia. People with dementia struggle to do things in their lives they previously found easy. Managing finances, handling their medication, shopping, cooking, driving. Slowed processing, delayed recall, and greater sensitivity to distraction are inconveniences, not major impairments. They are fundamentally different from not being able to roughly copy a simple drawing or name more than a few animals when giving a minute to think about it. An older person with a healthy brain may do things more slowly or differently for reasons that have more to do with their hands, their eyes, and their aging brain, but they can still do them. A lot of Americans have dementia, 5.3 million in 2015, which is 4.5 times more than people who have AIDS. And some estimates suggest that only about half of people with dementia have been diagnosed. I'm going to stop reading there because we're going to come up on the end of the first half of the show. I've been reading from a book that you should get and read. It's called Elderhood by Louise Aronson. And I'm going to talk about this most important book and this show and what I do when we come back for the break. But I want you to understand that for 35 years, this has been my world, is watching people change. Who in your family is changing? In honesty, who in your family is changing? I'm not talking about forgetting where the keys are. I forget where the keys are. I have 4 pairs of glasses in my house because I can't remember where I left my glasses last time. I hate that. So I have multiple pairs of glasses scattered around. We're talking about the inability to manage daily events. Exactly what Dr. Aronson's talking about. So when we take the break here in a minute, I'm going to come back and I'm going to discuss this some more. And I want you to think about who in your family we're talking about. Who in your family is Dr. Aronson talking about? What I just read, who does that describe that you love? And what are you doing to deal with it, or are you just pretending like it's not happening? If we pretend it's not happening, maybe it won't. Because then we're going to talk about, in the second half hour, my goal is to talk about solutions and reality and solutions and more reality. It's not a pleasant subject. Aging is hard. One of my clients told me 30 years ago, you have to be brave to get old. And boy, is that the truth. I wish I could just sit down and read this book to you from beginning to end, but it would take me a year of shows to do that. You can go buy it. I bought this at the bookstore. You can't get it into the bookstore anymore. And I've been reading it slowly because that's how this reads. But you can sure order it delivered. I suggest you get it. I suggest you read it because it will help you fully understand what I've been trying to talk about here for 21 years on KFBK, and that is the issues of aging. If you're dealing with somebody like that now and you need help, call me. You're listening to the person who can help. Call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. Set up an appointment. Come and see me or talk to me over the phone until we open up again. I've set up to do everything remotely now. So don't hesitate to call or email me. But begin to make a difference in the life of that person that I just described, that Dr. Aaronson just described. I'll be back after a short break. Don't go away. More to talk about right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. 800-999-8007. Be right back. Welcome back, and welcome back to Assets and Aging and Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host. I hope you enjoyed the first half hour. I hope you take the time to go buy this book. I don't remember how much it was. I bought it at Barnes & Noble when Barnes & Noble was open, so I can't tell you. I'm gonna probably be 20 or 25 bucks online if you go buy it. I'm telling you, go buy it and read it and share it with your family, your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, whoever it is. It is imperative that we begin to get a better grasp on the issues of aging as we all live longer. Some of us will live longer with very productive, fruitful lives. Some of us will live longer frail. I don't know which one you're going to be. I don't know which one I'm going to be, or my wife. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Glad to have you with me. Your host, Bob Scrivano. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show. I read a lot from a book called Elderhood by Dr. Louise Aaronson. It's a fabulous book. I hope you'll go buy it. I hope you'll read it. I think it will give you a better understanding of what I've been talking about here for 20 years on KFVK. As I talk about the issues of aging. The issues of aging are not just, I'm getting old and gravity is winning. That's not it. Pardon me while I have some coffee here. Good. It is good coffee. I like good coffee. It's about all the things that fit into that matrix as we get older. And it's what I've been talking about for a long time. And I want to stay away from the COVID virus because we're all worn out with hearing about that. By the way, I hope you read about it more broadly than just what you get on the nightly news. There's an old adage in broadcasting, always lead with blood. So, car accidents make good TV reporting. Don't always just believe what you hear on the nightly news. Read widely about it. Don't listen to one or two sources. Make sure you're informed. By the way, vitamins aren't going to cure it. Okay, so let's talk about the issue. Let's talk about more about what I talked about in the first half. And try to sum up here and get you guys focused on what we're now we're focused on a disease, but I want us to stay focused on what this disease has done to the elderly and how fragile life is. And I want us to stay focused on this just as a symbol of the issues of aging. As we get older, there's nothing we can do about it. We were going to become more frail. It's just a simple fact of life. You're going to become more frail. You're going to be, you know, I used to be able to hit a golf ball well over 300 yards. By the way, that was with persimmon clubs. I can't do that anymore. I'm older. It's not that I don't know how to play golf. I can't turn as much as I did. I have a little arthritis in my back. My shoulders sometimes hurt a little bit. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. All those things have begun to change, and there's nothing I can do about it. Jack Nicklaus can't hit a golf ball 300 yards anymore either. As we get older, our limitations grow. Some of those limitations are physical. Some of those limitations are emotional. Some of those limitations are mental. And then for some people, it's all of the above or combinations of the above. As we've focused on, as I have for the last couple of weeks, on what's going on, I've focused on the picture of somebody standing outside a facility trying to talk to somebody through the window because we can't get in. No one expected this to happen. For 30 years that I've been doing this, I don't know how many people I've sat with. I have no idea. It's thousands and thousands. I have no idea how many people have sat in front of my workshops over the years. I've done workshops in as big as 250 people. Thousands and thousands. I've talked to groups. By the way, I'll come and speak to your group or organization anytime for free. All you have to do is call me. I've talked to just so many, I can't even remember how many. And the response is always the same. Ooh, Bob, that's really interesting. Oh, what you're talking about is really, really, really interesting. But you know, I don't have to worry about that right now, because right now I'm feeling pretty good. My brain is working pretty good. And so I don't have to, you know, Mom is a little weird, but yeah, Mom's not too bad. Mom, Dad's going to be okay. We're all living here in La La Land, and we just hope it's all going to be okay. Well, if what's happening right now has taught us anything, life changes quickly. And for those people who were prepared and had the right tools, and we're going to talk about tools in this hour, a half hour, for those that have had the right tools, it's better. They're able to handle it. For those who had the wrong tools or no tools, they're running around like the proverbial chickens with their heads cut off because they don't know what to do. One of the articles I have here, where I don't know where it is. I have got stacks of articles a mile high that I've collected over the last several months. But one of them was about doctors going out all of a sudden who were working in hospitals and stuff and wanting to do wills. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, why would they do that? Well, because they're surrounded by death and destruction every day right now. And so it's brought home the fragility of life and how fast things happen. And I'm thinking to myself, they haven't even begun to get the tools they need. A will is a nice thing, but it's not the tool that's going to let us deal with this. It'll let us deal with death, but it won't let us deal with all the stuff leading up to that. So let's talk about tools. Okay, so I've talked about all the people looking on the outside. What are all the things they're going to have to do? I mean, if you had to go through and make a list, if your mom or dad were failing or, you know, remember... And Dr. Aronson talked about this in her book, and I've talked about this for years. The average time between the diagnosis of Alzheimer's and death is 6 to 12 years. 6 to 12 years. You know, Parkinson's, 20 years. MS, 30, 40 years. And then there's Lewy body dementia, and there's frontal temporal lobe dementia, and there's vascular dementia, and there's all kinds of stuff. There's just frailty. Dad can't walk anymore. Mom can't walk anymore. How many different decisions have to be made when that's happening? So if we're looking at elderhood as a process, as we talked about in the book that I read in the first half hour, what tools are you going to need? Let's just walk through some of the things that people are having to do right now. They're having to make medical decisions for people. They're having to talk to doctors. They're having to talk to pharmacists. They're having to talk to psychologists. They're having to talk to geriatricians. They're having to talk to about diet changes. They're having to talk about contracts. They're having to talk about medical expense. They're having to talk, well, what tools are there in place? What tools are there in place to do that? We focus on the number of dead, but there's a million and a half. We don't know how many people that have this virus. Because some people had the virus, never knew they had the virus. They blew their nose twice and they said, oh, I have a little runny nose, and their life went on. For those people who didn't die, how many decisions are having to be made for them just to get well? Let alone the fact that we're all going to age and we're all going to become more frail and we're all going to become more dependent on someone else. What tools have we given that someone else so they can make wise decisions for us? What tools have we made, have we done, that will address the best outcomes for a family? So when I talk about documents, I want, instead of the word document, I want you to replace it with the word tool. What tools do I have that are going to allow my family to make decisions for me, wise decisions for me, if I can't make wise decisions for me? What tools have I put in place? I don't know the answer for you. I know that for most of you, you don't have adequate tools. How many have ever used a tool? Ever used a tool? I have. I'm holding a cup of coffee in my hand right now. I'm going to have a sip of coffee. Yummy. A cup is a tool. Well, it is? Yeah. It'd be really hard to drink coffee without a cup. I guess you could hold it in your hands. Might be a little warm for a while. How many of you have ever used a paintbrush? It's a tool. How many of you have ever used a crescent wrench? It's a tool. Or a hammer. Or a saw. Or a drill. Or a jack to jack up a car. Or a whatever, an axe. A screwdriver. I can go on and on and on. I don't have many. I used to have a lot of tools. I used to do my own, work on my own cars and that kind of stuff. I used to have a lot of tools. I used to do some woodworking, I had a table saw. I don't have a lot of that anymore, but I still have a lot of tools in my garage. If you prune a tree, you use a tool. If you trim roses, you use a tool. Having the right tools is central to everything we do. Would you fry eggs in a spaghetti pot? No, you wouldn't do that. Would you make oatmeal in a frying pan? Well, you could probably, but no, you'd want a little deeper pan. You get my point, okay? Well, the same thing is true when we're dealing with the issues of aging. Making sure we have the right tools in place, is imperative. You can say, well, I own a paintbrush. That's a tool. I have a paintbrush. But you can't trim a tree with a paintbrush. Conversely, you can't paint a house with tree trimmers, with shears. Simply having tools and saying, I have some documents, I have some tools, it doesn't mean anything. It's, do you have the right tool? Do you have the right set of tools to do what it is that you need to do that are going to let you take care of your family and make decisions? How many decisions do you think are being made right now that people never in their wildest imaginations thought they would ever have to make? How many? I have another question for you, and this is a question nobody else has addressed. I haven't read it anywhere. I don't think we will read it anywhere. How many people wound up in nursing homes and couldn't get out and wound up dying because they couldn't get out? What do you mean they couldn't get out, Bob? Facilities were locked down. People couldn't go in or out. I have somebody right now who's been looking for a nursing home for 3 months. Can't find one. Nobody will let the person in. It's a mess in their family right now because they can't get in. They can't get their parent in who belongs in a nursing home because they're all locked down. So how many people went to nursing homes for rehab? The coronavirus hit that nursing home or somebody got infected, and then they weren't allowed to leave because they couldn't go back out into the community. I'll guarantee you there's no statistics done on that. I also guarantee that across the United States it has happened. So what kind of tools do you need? You need to be able to make not only medical decisions for that person. How do you pick the doctor? How do you pick the hospital? How do you pick the treatment? Are the documents immediate or are they springing? In other words, do you first have to have mom declared incompetent? So in the middle of all of this, I got to go get two doctors to have mom declared incompetent? That's cumbersome. Or can I just make decisions for mom or dad or my husband or my wife? So I not only have to make medical decisions, but what kinds of things are involved in medical decisions? Well, what do you mean, Bob? Well, what kinds of medical decisions might want somebody have to make? Well, picking the doctor. Well, your family doctor's not going into the nursing home. Your family doctor's not going to the hospital. The hospitalist at the hospital becomes your doctor. The ER doc becomes your doctor. So you're not going to Dr. Schmidlap anymore. You're going to a doctor you've never seen in your life before and you don't know anything about them. So can you make decisions for that person with this new doctor who doesn't know you and you don't know them? What about medical records? Can you get medical records? Can you order tests? If they come to you and say, hey, we'd like to do this, can you do that? Do you have control over prescriptions? Can you deal with their insurance records? Can you deal with all the 10,000 things that fall under the category of making medical decisions? Can you make end-of-life decisions for them? I don't mean have you talked about it. I mean, can you make decisions? What about financial stuff? Can you continue to pay mom's rent? Let's say mom lives in a mobile home and the space rent is $250 a month and she's making payments and she's got an electric bill and she's got a gas bill and she's got a phone bill and mom all of a sudden winds up in a care home or needing care. Can you deal with her finances? Can you pay her rent? Can you sell the mobile home? If mom's never coming home again, can you sell the house or the mobile home? What if she's got an apartment? Can you pay the rent? What if the landlord is going to try to evict mom because he doesn't want a sick person back? Can you deal with that? What, Bob, this stuff never happens. It happens all the time, folks. Do you have the right tools in place? And I'll sit here and tell you categorically right now, most of you don't. You should have. But you don't. Because you were going to put it off until you really, really needed it. Well, here's the bad news. When you really, really need it, you probably can't do it. When you really, really need it, you probably can't do it. How many of you have ever been doing something at home, some project, and all of a sudden, we're talking tools here, and all of a sudden, God, I need this tool to finish this thing, and I don't have it. And it's frustrating because you want to get the thing finished, but you don't have the tool. Well, when you need the tool is not the time to think about it. You just need the tool. Now you got to stop. You got to go out and get it, and you got to come back, and you got to finish the project. Life is the same way. When you need something, that's not the time when you need to worry about it. You should just have it. And that's true of all long-term care planning and aging planning and frailty planning. If the tools to deal with this aren't in existence beforehand, it may be too late. You may not be able to get them because that person can't cooperate or won't or is too ill. I just can't imagine the wreckage and ruin that we'll never know about in families because of all of this. We'll never know what the law of unintended consequences did to them. I'm a big fan of the law of unintended consequence. You know, we're going to do something, whether it's political or medical, we're going to do something. And then the law of unintended consequence comes in. So let me give you a really quick one that everybody's familiar with. Schools are closed. Okay, so what happens when school reopens? What's the law of unintended? I just read today in today's Wall Street Journal about the number of colleges who are closing. Colleges who've been in existence for 130, 40, 50 years because they had to send their students home. Revenue stopped. And they'll never, those kids are never going to come back, or most of them won't come back. They won't be, they're closing. It was Wall Street Journal this weekend. It was last Friday, I think. That's the law of unintended consequences. The consequence was everybody got, they were sick, and so we sent everybody home, and we did long distance learning, and we did all this stuff. And kids aren't going to go back to school, folks. High school kids may, elementary school, but even that, some people may decide that they like home teaching or they don't like this particular school because they found out stuff. And anyhow, I'm just saying, whenever there's an, you know, the old saying, whenever there's an action, there's an equal but opposite reaction. I'm a big fan of the law of unintended consequence. So what's going on in families as a result of this? What kind of financial disasters are there? What kinds of, you know, mom got sick and dad is well, but dad's now taking care of a sick person the rest of his life. And what's that doing to the family? And how is the family able to cope? And what tools do they have to be able to cope? I've been focused on documents for I can't tell you how long. I'm licensed to prepare documents. I'm not an attorney, but I have a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare trust, wills, powers of attorney, advanced healthcare directives. I do it all the time. I've had a license since 04, 2004, not 1904. I'm not that aged, but 2004. It's a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, license number 2004-05. And I'm happy to do that. And I like doing that. And one of the things that I always try to do with people, and they're amazed because lots of people have been to somebody else and talked about it. And all of a sudden I'm asking them questions and they go, well, no one's ever asked us those questions before. And I said, I know. But I have to know the answers to those questions. I have to know what's going on in your lives and in your family's life so that I can try to give you the right tools. I don't tell them what they should have, but, you know, is it a blended family? Well, his kids, her kids. His assets, her assets. Are her kids going to take care of him if she's not around? Are his kids going to take care of her? Whose money gets used to do all that? Are there kids we don't like? Are there kids we don't trust? Are there kids who have special needs? Maybe it's a single person, and they don't have anybody. They don't have any kids. They've never been married. They have a whole different set of tools they need to have in their toolbox. Completely different situation. And it's one of the reasons why I've always been down on people going online or going to these motel seminars is what you're going to get is a one size fits all, which fits nobody. It's like saying, well, I have a crescent wrench. I have a tool. Okay. That'll help you with nuts and bolts, but it won't help you paint a house. Simply to say you have something is a meaningless statement. What does it say? Worse yet is you have no tools. You just think it's all going to work out. I don't know how it's going to work out, Bob, but it's going to work out. Make sure you have the right tools at the end of all of this. Make sure you've given your family the tools so that they can achieve the best outcomes for your family. Having the right documents is all about achieving the right outcomes for your family, not for somebody else, but for your family. In the middle of all of this, I hope you have learned that. I hope you also know now that I can help with this. And I'm set up to do all of this remotely, so you don't have to jeopardize anything. You can stay home in your pajamas. I don't care. We can deal with all of this by email, by Zoom, by fax, by telephone, by whatever. But it can all be dealt with to make sure you're prepared and you have the right tools. Or you can go on living in oblivion and hope it all is going to work out. If you read Dr. Aronson's book, Elderhood, you'll know it's not going to all work out. We're all going to become more frail. We're all going to become more dependent on someone else. We're all going to lose our ability gradually to take care of ourselves in the same way that we did when we were 40. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. That's my phone number. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Tons of information there, including whenever my next webinar is. Instead of doing seminars in my office, I've been doing webinars. And the people that have listened to them have so far loved them. You can sign up for my newsletter. You can become a subscriber. I just put up 3 new videos on my website for subscribers. Really importantly, make sure you're always following me on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging, or you can get a direct link if you go to my website. And every week I do live Facebook videos, sometimes more than once a week, with new information, up-to-date stuff, so that you can make a difference in your life and make sure you have the right tools. In the middle of all of this, you have to look at your family and say, if this hell on earth happened to us, would we be prepared? As a family, are we prepared to deal with this? I can't imagine what these families, well, I can because I've been around this for long enough, but what they're going through, you can't imagine. And having the right documents at the core of this makes it better. Make sure you have the right tools. Make sure you have the right documents. Call me today. Get a hold of me today. 800-999-8007. Assetsandaging.com. Facebook Live. Make sure you follow me on Facebook. And make sure you're here next week. Same place, same time. Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Leading the way on the answers to the issues of aging. Thanks so much for joining me. I'll see you next week or at one of my upcoming webinars. Give me a call. Have a great day and be safe. Bye-bye.